listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Saturday, October 26, 2019. This is Spingola Speaks, and this is Deanna Spingola, and I'm coming to you from the very cold Chicago suburbs. At least I think it's cold. I appreciate you for joining me today at republicbroadcasting.org. You may visit my website at spingola.com. You may access the radio schedule page by clicking on the radio schedule page excuse me, at spingola.com. If you wish to ask questions or comments during the program, email comment at spingola.email. I only use this email address 3 hours a week during the program. Join others in the chat room at spingola.chatango.com. And, of course, the archives are located at spingolaspeaks.net and republicbroadcasting.org. My guest today is John Klychek. Hope I'm not mispronouncing that name. He is the author of School World Order, The Technocratic Globalization of Corporatized Education. His website is schoolworldorder.info. And let me immediately make a correction. You may purchase the book at Amazon. Purchase the book from Trinday. They have published some absolutely incredible books. This book came out on October 8th. I feel it's an honor and a privilege to interview this wonderful author. But the book, under product detail, says 96 pages. That is incorrect. There are 499 pages. So please don't think you're just getting a measly 96 pages when you purchase this book. It's available in Kindle and paperback, but also support the website, Trinday, and purchase it at the website because it's a good idea to support the website. And as I mentioned, Trinday has published some absolutely incredible books. John, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me, Deanna. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. And how about you?
I'm okay. It is Klychek, just so you know. I mean, just for other people, but that's no biggie. But yeah, I always tell the students, if you ignore the C and just look at it, it's just how it looks. So it's Klychek, but thanks again for having me. Yeah.
Oh, your book is marvelous. It is just a marvelous book, and of course I'm going to have it in both versions. I like to have the digital version also, because then I can highlight and I can just, I don't know. I just like the digital version, but I like the hard copy too. So I love books and I like to be educated, and your book is just, it's marvelous. It's just marvelous, marvelous, marvelous. And I think that everybody should read your book. Absolutely. Oh. Everyone should read your book. And your website, as I mentioned, schoolworldorder.info, where you can read some things about the book you've written. You also write for several websites, which including Intrepid Report, The Dissident Voice, Op-Ed News, News with Views, Natural News, and you're the director of writing and editing at Black Freighter Productions. I'm just delighted to have you on the program. I love your book. I just love your book, okay? It's a fabulous book.
Cool. Thanks a bunch. It grew as I wrote it, and so that's why the page numbers are different. But I will say 100 pages of those are actually endnotes, so like, you know, bibliography, citations, which on the website, I'm still working on getting all the links up, are interactive, so you can actually go and just click on the links to those sources if you're interested in where I got the information from. And then there's a glossary, because, you know, there's some $10 words in there. So really the read itself is only 350 pages, which is, you know, I think, you know, reasonable. It's not super duper long. It's more than the 90. So I think it's, you know, yeah, it's a readable book. You can get through it. You can read it in sections. It's written in ways so that, you know, you can take breaks on it if you need to. Great. Thank you.
You brought up something else that I think any good book should have. If your book does not have an index, I don't think it's a complete book. Every book should include an index, and it should include citations. Okay? Every book should have citations, which, of course, you have provided. And it's just a fabulous book. And I can't say enough good things about it. As I said, you have to have citations so that people can look at what you've written, and then they can look at the endnotes, which are, I think, just as important as the text itself. You can look at the endnotes and the book and go to those websites or those citations and gain the same truth. People who write without putting citations in it, it's just hearsay. Unless you cite your sources, you have written a book with that just is hearsay, and so you've given the complete picture. I can't say enough about the book. It's just written so well, and so what else can I say? Trying Date is a fabulous job, and has some really great authors, including our guest today.
And Chris did a great, my publisher, Chris Millen at Trying Days, he's awesome. And he did a great job laying it out and, you know, and including an index and all those citations. And
right.
The format, the layout, everything is great on that. Yeah.
It's perfect. It's perfect. But, of course, you've provided all those citations and everything. But the layout is good. The introduction is great. I can't find a single thing wrong with this book. As far as the presentation, the information, not that I'm an expert, but I consider myself well-read, and your book is terrific.
Well, thank you. I tried to take an academic approach to what is otherwise considered sometimes taboo in academia, so it does, you know, I guess go into the world of conspiracy theory, I guess is the term they use to ad hominem sometimes nowadays, but you know, just some of those angles in the mainstream that they don't get covered, I guess, is a better way of putting it. But I made sure to cite, you know, academic journals, peer-reviewed journals, government citations, you know, mainstream news to buttress whatever other leads I had. So, you know, I appreciate the acknowledgement of that, you know, it is a part of it. But I try to still make it accessible to, you know, everyday people and everything, you know.
Sure.
So, hope, you know, it should be readable and all that at the same time. Right?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely it is.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So, anyway. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, I mean, I the book probably has like two main sections, and then the third one could be that angle that I just talked about, you know, if you wanted to add that to it. But the two main aspects are the privatization of public education, okay, which involves what they call school choice is the buzzword, which largely means replacing academics with workforce training, okay? And then the other element in that means to remove elected school boards and replace them with what are effectively corporate unelected councils. I think you're in Chicago as well, so we actually have the opposite kind of thing going on with we have a new school board maybe that's going to go about. So that's, I like the prospects of that. You know, there's a lot of controversy around it, but elsewhere, you know, for in Chicago, there's been a growing trend of privatization, corporatization of charter school, and one of the bigger states to kind of push that movement. But those are the two main aspects of the first part, and then the other part is basically the technocratic implementation of the privatization, which basically just means replacing human teaching, human instructors, human interaction with what we'll call adaptive learning software, which would be the teaching machine, what Skinner called the teaching machine, B.F. Skinner, and then the data mining of students to basically evolve that technology into artificial intelligence and other stuff along that line. That's probably a big mouthful. I should probably pause for a second there, yeah?
No, it's okay. That big mouthful is really good. I really appreciate big mouthfuls. As you said, we both live in the Chicago area. In fact, we have a common area code. So you might be in the next town, as far as I know. But anyway, you talk about the use of technology rather than real life teachers. And I've done several programs recently regarding the use of technology, and really it is not as effective as having an interactive human being talking to another human being. It is it does not teach the students linear thinking. There's no really interaction. It is just the technology, whatever they're using, whether they're using iPads or some other device, is just not productive as far as developing a person's mind, and which is very troubling to me, incredibly troubling, because you really don't have the ability to interact. You're just being fed all of this information, and when you take people out of the process of any kind of human interaction, you really have to question what are the objectives here, and you certainly laid them out. And you talk about you talk about a lot of things in your book, and I do encourage people to visit your website so that they may understand exactly. Well, I want them to buy the book, of course. And that website, again, is schoolworldorder.info. And you've talked a lot about Anthony Sutton and of course, Eisenbright, Charlotte Thompson Eisenbright, who I have interviewed in the past. And she's very, very cool lady. Very wonderful lady, and of course, I have her book, as well as Anthony Sutton's book. So, how did all this start? You want to go back a few generations and talk about John Dewey and some of the stuff? This didn't happen overnight, okay?
Yeah, absolutely, sure. And actually, let's just jump. Yeah, let's jump back there. So that, because that's another mouthful. The computers. Okay, you mentioned that it doesn't engage higher thinking. I will say, right?
Right.
That's because it's largely built on what is essentially called the stimulus response psychological method. You go far enough back to where it starts with Wilhelm Wundt in the late 19th century. That's basically what his term was for. He founded the first laboratory for psychological experiments as an academic science, as opposed to, you know, before that, psychology was essentially a subdiscipline of philosophy. And so Wundt basically made it a laboratory discipline where he sort of removed the spiritual or metaphysical aspects of the old psychological philosophy, because that's what it means, the study of the spirit. And pretty much just said, well, you can kind of, you can't get a hold of that and measure it empirically. So, well, what we can do is by inference measure it through people's behaviors, and people's behaviors can be controlled through this method of stimulus response. So you experience something, that's the stimulus, whatever it is, and then that triggers a particular response. You know, the most famous or common example of that would be Pavlov's dog. People probably remember, you know, you ring the bell in association with the food, and then, right, you can make him salivate even when there's no food.
Right.
Today, you know, it's evolved into more terms like behaviorism or operant conditioning. That would be B.F. Skinner, and B.F. Skinner basically created the first what's called the teaching machine. And his would have been analog, and they didn't have really digital computers at the time. If you can look at the Smithsonian website, and they got pictures of them. They look like those. You remember those ViewMasters where you would put the little pictures, the Disney pictures, and you turn. Yeah, that's kind of the same mechanism. It'd be like on a wheel, you know, question answer on a wheel. You pull a gear, you write an answer, and then at the end it gives you some kind of score that would track you into whatever, you know, academic class hierarchy you're supposed to be in. So that's kind of where it starts, and it evolves through, you know, from Wilhelm Wundt to people like G. Stanley Hall, and then, as you said, John Dewey, later John B. Watson, E.L. Thorndike, and then, you know, eventually B.F. Skinner. And all along, what you have is what I'll call the hidden hand of the Order of Skull and Bones, which pulled in Sutton, who you mentioned, Anthony Sutton, was friends with Charlotte Thompson Iserby, and was also friends and I guess you could say research partners with both Chris Milligan, my publisher, and Charlotte. And what
right.
Sutton was the one that discovered that, yeah, behind the scenes were people like Daniel Coit Gilman, Timothy Dwight, Andrew Dixon White,
right,
during the sort of the beginning with Horace Mann, Alfonso Taft, and then moving up through the ages, you have McGeorge Bundy actually funded B.F. Skinner's stuff when he was dean at Harvard, and then you have Mr. Mnuchin now. Mr. Stephen Mnuchin is now the Treasury Secretary. And the book touches on how some of the tax cuts kind of are made to incentivize automation through a thing called the full and immediate expensing clause, which basically means that if you, you can write off depreciation over time is the standard way that businesses operate when they buy equipment, but full and immediate expensing clause attached to the new tax cuts enable the company to write off all of the depreciation in the first year. So in other words, if you buy something that can automate your workforce, you can essentially get it for free because, right, you can write off the full depreciation. So kind of incentivizing that. Paul Ryan said that he was influential in helping with that tax cut bill. I know I just said a whole bunch. I feel like I talked way too much there.
No, you've talked. No, that's why you're on the program, is to talk and tell us what's in the book, and people will want to buy this book. Trust me, listeners, you need to purchase this book. Okay, we'll be right back in 3 minutes.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Talk Right, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. Talk Right makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download Talk Right today from Google Play or the App Store.
Hey, is that a new music app?
Yeah, check it out. Surfer Music Discovery. It links to thousands of online stations, but the twist is you see the song names and artists that are now playing live.
That's different. No guessing. Looks like a waterfall of music.
So many formats. Rock, oldies, country, R&B, jazz, and a whole lot more.
How's that spelled?
Surfer. S-U-R-F-R.
Is it expensive?
It's free. No need to sign up or sign in.
Get the Surfer Music app free from Google Play or the App Store.
It starts with you and me. It starts with you and me. We all can be heroes if we take the lead to change the bad to good, to live in harmony. It starts with you and me.
Excuse me. All righty, we are back with our guest today, and that guest is John Klychek. He is the author of School World Order, The Technocratic Globalization of Corporatized Education. And there's one thing that I want to point out, of course, and you probably already know this, but Bill Gates Foundation donated, and this can be found on page 11, over $137 million to the Chicago school system. That's just to one school system. And that was to initiate and to reform, to invest in various charter school reform programs and initiatives that led to the creation of several successful small and charter high schools in Chicago, according to the Gates Foundation press release. Now, what I want you to know, and I received this information from other guests on the program, is that Bill and Melinda Gates have not allowed their children to have access to an iPad, iPhone, any of that stuff, the technology, until they were at least 14, either 14 or 16. They didn't want their children's minds messed up with technology. They wanted their children to understand life as it was happening, people to people, not people tied up, addicted, if you will, to the technology that they were producing and spending $137 million just in Chicago. Their own children, they didn't want to do that to. Okay, so you really have to question their values. You have to question what the heck they're doing, why they're doing it, and of course, with the foundation money, they do expect to get that back by way of programs and whatever else they have in mind as far as their objectives. And these objectives started a long time ago when school politics, school decisions used to be local. And then you had back in 1910 right around there, you had the Rockefellers came in and they wanted to take over. They wanted to federalize the school system. They took over a lot of various organizations, the historical societies and that kind of thing, to alter history and to give us a picture of the world as far as they were concerned. Okay, we're back with our guest, and thank you so much for being on the program. It's such an honor to have you on the program.
Oh, it's an honor to be here, and I've been so busy. I had no idea that you and Charlotte knew each other, too. It's an extra honor to be with you than if you're friends with Charlotte, for sure.
Well, I've interviewed her, have her book. I had all of the private files that were associated with that book. I just have a lot of information, a lot of the information that she collected and put together, and bless her heart for doing all of that. My gosh, it's wonderful that there are people who care enough to share what they have learned. You have an obligation to share what you have learned with other people, and sometimes other people are not appreciative. I've had some guests on the program, they write a book and they say, gosh, you know, nobody seems to appreciate what I've done. We should appreciate the people who give of their time, their energy, their resources to produce information for the benefit and the help of other people. And that's certainly something that you've done, certainly something the publisher has done with the many great books that Trine Day has put out.
Oh, yeah, and that's really how the book really got started, was Charlotte reached out to me. I wrote an article during the time that you probably remember when in Illinois, for those that aren't in Illinois, we didn't have a budget for almost 2 years, I think. My reading of it was that, you know, it was an attempt to basically bankrupt public education to create an opportunity for privatizing through all the school choice, charter schools, vouchers, tax credit for tuition expenses. And when that happened, I noticed a lot of the buzzwords that Charlotte warned about, you know, as school choice, cradle to career, workforce training. And I noticed that Rauner was big in that, and that was kind of what I had deduced. And I wrote an article, and Charlotte immediately reached out to me. And sounds like we got a break. Let me pick
Fabulous.
That up.
Fabulous. Yeah. All righty. We'll be right back in 3 minutes with our guest. Stay with us.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
It happens more often than we can imagine. In my case, I was sitting at home, and out of nowhere, I just started feeling uncomfortable. Then it got worse, and I started perspiring. I tried to ignore it, but I waited too long. The chest pain came as we were driving to the hospital emergency. I felt my life clock begin to tick. I barely survived. There was lots of damage done to my heart. What do I do now? I was lucky. I took a leap of faith and tried a 7-herb formula with hawthorn, garlic, cayenne, and more called Extendivite. Herbs have been used for thousands of years to keep us healthy. If you're not using Extendivite as a preventative supplement, maybe it's time to start. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Starts with you and me. It starts with you and me. We all can be heroes if we take the lead to change the bad to good, to live in harmony. It starts with you and me. It starts with you and me.
All righty, we are back. We are back. I just love that song. It was actually a listener contributed that song, and I just love the thought behind it, and love listening to it. Okay, my guest today is John Pleitchek. He is the author of School World Order, The Technocratic Globalization of Corporatized Education. The website is schoolworldorder.info. You may purchase the book there from the publisher, or publish it from that other place that people get books and, well, everything that the people buy from that site, because we're all used to immediate gratification, and y'all know which site I'm talking about. Anyway, what is going on in Chicago now with this strike is just unbelievable. I think probably a lot of folks around the country may not know about this strike, but I think what the heck is going on? It's disrupting the children and their pursuance of an education. It's all about money and the teachers' funding, their pensions. And in Illinois, there's quite a problem with pensions. And of course, it's all money based. And if you want to cover that, or if you want to say any more about that, it's just maddening. The whole thing is really ticks me off.
Yeah, I I am actually an adjunct professor at. If your listeners don't know what that means so it's the kind of the business world of academia means that you have a handful of full timers, like any company, right? And then you have a very large base of what they call part time workers. And the fancy word for a professor at a college who is part time is adjunct. And I didn't talk about any of this in the book because, you know, I was really more concerned about school governance and also the curriculum, the technology, the future and the direction of, you know, where the actual art of learning and education is going. I mean, I'm kind of with a master's degree. They usually want that's my degree. They usually want a PhD. So, I'm kind of in this weird niche, which has its perks because I'm not stuck in a lot of that administrative stuff. I don't have to do a lot of that type of stuff. So I get to teach and I get to have that buffer, and then I try to do the stuff that I can, on my own with the book and the writing as far as my activism for education. But I would say that I haven't followed it deeply because of that. I've been focused on this, this book and trying to. But I would say that, I did notice that a lot of the focus, just from the blurbs I see on the news, is, I hear a lot about the teachers getting paid. And, that's why I mentioned the stuff about, when you're part-time, you don't make a lot of money. I have to work at two schools. Most people teach three classes. I teach six, and then I tutor online sometimes. I tutor at other places. I bounce around and kind of hustle. I guess if anybody would complain about money, I might do that, but it's not on my radar. So that does kind of strike me as odd. I mean, I would say that, it seems to be more kind of political battles over where money's going to go and who's going to get paid is largely what it looks like from a very outside perspective. Yeah.
Right. And it's the children who are suffering and their parents. I think the majority of parents work outside the home, so it's putting a great stress upon parents to find a place for their children during the day. It's just very, I don't know. Why didn't they do this in the summertime?
There's another. That's another. Possibly to stir up more attention. I mean, who knows? How people strategize some of this political stuff, and how Chicago politics is not always the cleanest.
Oh my gosh.
But one thing I did notice, and again, this is from just looking at headlines, okay? But I did notice. I think in one of the things they wanted more was improvement in school climate and I want to say it sounded like socio-emotional learning it sounded like a buzzword for that, like more support staff for that type of stuff.
It didn't have anything really to do, or it doesn't seem to have anything to do with that about providing the children with more education. It just seemed to want to provide more nursing staff, more staff to address other things that parents should be taking care of. The other thing that really bothers me about the system is that parents should be taking care of their children's daily needs. They should be feeding them. They should be taking care of their children. The school systems are not in charge of feeding people, okay? They should not be in charge of feeding people. That's a parental job. And I think when I was going to school, I went there to learn to read and write, and I learned something. It was up to me to do my homework. It was up to my parents to feed me. It wasn't up to the taxpayers. I think students took more responsibility for their homework, for their education. It's actually the child that child's obligation to learn. It's the teacher's responsibility to provide the children in any classroom with a specific subject or subjects. And then the parent's job is to provide the child with a home, with food, with shelter, with clothing. And now all of a sudden you have the government interloping on those parental responsibilities, which is taxpayer funded, of course. This is totally wrong. Okay, I've had my little rant.
Oh, I thought we were getting ready for a break. Okay. Yeah. So, there is an emotional element to learning. I'll say that because I tutor, and sometimes as a tutor, the student is not yours. They'll open up to you in different ways. And a lot of times they're intimidated and they have a bad experience with all the stuff we're talking about in school, right? I mean, which is largely, stimulus response conditioning.
It's right.
I incorporate a lot of John Taylor Gatto stuff, and he talks a lot about, the systematic humiliation and otherwise, caste system that is
right.
The process of learning your place in the intellectual hierarchy, so to speak. I have a lot of students that when I tutor them, you realize that they say, "Oh, I'm overthinking it." Yeah, you're overthinking it. You're freaking out. I get it. And by the way, I did really good in college, but I did really bad in high school. I was one of those kids that was always in trouble and stuff like that. So I know what it's like to be on both sides of it. But to your point, learning is supposed to be the cultivation of the higher mind. And a lot of what the socio-emotional stuff, and by that I mean the cultivation of the higher mind and its the use of it to integrate whatever are your passions, your emotions, your fears, your anxieties, those two things go together. But it's the student's responsibility to do that, with help, obviously. But if you constantly try to make it too easy or make it easier or be this intermediary – you're largely just, as you say, you're taking the responsibility out of them, and true learning doesn't happen unless it's on your own. A teacher should just be somebody that kind of points in the direction.
A facilitator, absolutely. I was a big fan of John Taylor Gatto, the late. He passed away about a year ago. And, almost exactly a year ago, October 25th.
Oh, it's Charlotte's birthday. I'm sorry I cut you off. It's happy birthday, Charlotte, into the world for Charlotte. Happy birthday, Charlotte.
Yes, happy birthday. We should sing a song. Well, I can't think so. We'll just pretend like we sang a song.
Okay. Yes, okay.
Happy birthday. And bless her heart for her work and the time that she has spent, as I said, people spend their time writing things to help others, and I just appreciate that so much.
I was going to say, and in memory of John, too, I feel like I just cut John off. John, you're remembering John and I, but I didn't want to forget that. I'm so sorry about that.
No, it's okay. Yeah. We're both on the same page. We're just, yes, absolutely. So there's so many things going on. I just, I do hope people will purchase your book. So we've got Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Interloping they are involved in so many things, nefarious things, that that we could go into, but just the fact that they have touched on the education of American students is enough to really ask questions. And you talk about Bruce Rauner and just all the stuff that's going on in Illinois. And a lot of times we think, well, if things happen in California and then they move eastward. But Chicago has always been the hub of a lot of other really nefarious activities. And certainly it seems to have retained to be the center place for a lot of corruption and organizations that seem to fan out here in the middle of the country elsewhere. And Bruce Rauner sounded like he was going to do this really good job. And gosh, he got elected. And then I don't know what happened to him. He just, I don't know. As you said, politics in Chicago is very questionable all the way around from the beginning. But he also made several donations and gifts to the schools. Oh, and then we have this recently where these high-profile actors and people, which has nothing whatsoever to do with your book, but buying their children's influence or paying their children or paying other people to take classes or take pictures. It's horrible. It's just horrible what's going on. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I mean, so you know, because I remember you mentioned that you know, a lot of the big tech guys, folks, I guess, Bill and Melinda, and you know, Steve Jobs, I believe they preferred to not have their own children use too many devices. We'll just say, you know,
none. Yes, Steve Jobs the same way.
I talked about that in chapter 4 or 5. Off the top of my head, I can't think which it is, but it's the chapter. It's Big Data, Billionaire Betsy, and the Public Private Planned Economy.
Oh yes, we have to talk about DeVos and their little secret combinations and what they were doing.
Oh yeah, 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 and in there I talked about I just mentioned this contradiction, right? I mean, it's, you know, everything you hear, you know, sometimes I get invited to just regular academic conferences and emails, and you look at, well, what's the venue? And it's all the stuff that's in the book, you know, adaptive learning, predictive analytics, maker spaces, workforce schooling, all that type of stuff. But it's a lot of high tech stuff, you know. And then you look in the meet, well, the people that make it don't seem to utilize it the same way they want us to, which is always never a good sign, right?
Right. It's a bad, bad sign when they won't let their own children have access to this stuff. And yes, it's
the
a very bad War sign.
Google is the name of the one of the big one where a lot of the Silicon Valley people send their kids. It's the
right
public school. Yeah.
Yeah, they all know in Silicon Valley exactly what's good for children and what's not, and parents ought to be emulating the parents in Silicon Valley and asking questions, but they're so busy paying taxes for schools and all the rest and trying to earn a living and take care of the families, while the so-called rich and super rich are really producing a workforce that will enable them to continue their lifestyle, which is quite different than everybody else's lifestyle, to be sure.
Yeah, you mentioned I was in prep. I was looking at some of I've been listening to your radio show just to get a feel of how you do things, and you had you'll remember his name. The book is Digital Cocaine. What's the man's name?
Oh yes, Huddleston.
You know, I hadn't thought about a lot of that. Didn't really know about it, but it fit perfectly in. And he talked a lot about just the frequencies of the technology. I talk a lot about the stimulus response in terms of how it's designed to play on the human reward and punishment centers to get you to, you know, behaviors that are, you know, suitable for workforce training. Right. But he talks about just how the frequencies themselves rewire your brain at a different level. And I've noticed how certain light frequencies, they give me a headache. And so, you know, it's just, you know, just kind of speculating on that. You know, they know that at two levels, at the cognitive, behavioral, and at the biological level, that those computers are shaping the kids' brains in different ways than a paper and pencil.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. All righty, we will be back in 3 minutes.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets, even with a growing audience every day. RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. It really does work like the review says it does. I cannot believe that after the first few days, I didn't feel as sluggish or clogged up. It has had a profound impact on my physical, emotional well-being. I'm skeptical as most people about products and their claims, and I never write reviews, but this is a wonderful product and I recommend it to everyone. Great product. It has brought my blood pressure from the mid-150s over the 80s to the mid-130s over mid-80s. Along with diet and exercise in just the past couple of months. Excellent. Thank you, David. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Okay, nurse, let's get this man to the ER stat.
Right away, doctor.
We see this every day. Heart attack or angina pain due to blocked and clogged arteries. Chelation can remove obstructions or blockages from arteries and help avoid painful and expensive surgery. Now there's Angioprim. It's a liquid oral chelation product that you take with juice. You start to feel the results fast. Angioprim increases blood flow all over the body, and that means more energy and strength to take on the day with less aches and pains. 60 years of research has gone into chelation. And Angioprim is the result. A safe and easy way to unblock your veins and arteries from buildup that slow circulation.
Paging Dr. Jones. Please report to the emergency room right away.
Log on now to Angioprim.com. That's Angioprim.com. Or to speak with a trained consultant, give Angioprim a call at 954-882-7221. That's 954-882-7221.
All righty, we are back. We are back, and our guest today is John Klychek, and he is the author of this really fabulous book, and the name of that book is School World Order, The Technocratic Globalization of Corporatized Education, and it is available at the website, schoolworldorder.info, and of course at that other site that we all used to fulfill our immediate gratification needs. In 2012, I had a guest on the program, Dr. Samuel Milham, and we talked about electricity at that point in time. And I did a rebroadcast of him just about exactly a month ago of that broadcast. And since then, I've used Graham Stetzer filters on many of the outlets in my home. I'm very cognizant about the dirty energy, dirty electricity, and that's one problem. But as you mentioned, Brad Huddleston, who I had on October 5th, after reading his things, looking at his videos, and understanding the full impact of what technology is doing not only to children but to adults, I was overwhelmed. I was just it put a whole new slant on everything, and it was a shock to me. It really was. And then the following week, I had on William Cadwallader, and he talked about StopDirtyElectricity.com. So we do have people who are writing about dirty electricity. We have people who are writing about the problems with technology and what it's doing to the brain, what it's doing to the mind. And some people have this faulty vision or this faulty view that somehow the government, the ABC agencies, that they think are protecting our rights and protecting us from all of these things are really not. They are really protecting the corporations. And it's the corporations that you talk about in your book, the corporatization of education. My gosh, they've gone after the adult population. They've gone after the children in their corporatization of education. And it used to be that children didn't go to kindergarten. They were home for a very long time. I didn't go to school till I was 6 and a half, just because of when my birthday was situated and the time of the year that I was born, and the fact that kindergarten just wasn't all that popular. But now they want to take... Oh, okay, we'll be back. We'll be back momentarily. Stay with us. Back 3 minutes.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America.
With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at libertystickers.com. Again, that's libertystickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.